Lord. Greetings to you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is my first occasion that I'm coming to this part of the world. And as Pastor Christy has mentioned, we shared our relationship for many years. And I'm so cherished, and I thank God for one more opportunity to come together. When I met them and lived with them in Indore, the place where I come from, that time they were not having kids. Now I'm seeing a different paradigm in their life, the work of God in their life. So I thank God for what God has done in their lives. And also, I like to thank God for Shalom. He's a dear friend of ours, our family. My brother is very close to him, and he has made it a point that you could come here out of all your busy schedule. May God bless you and use you in this part of the world. And also, I'd like to tell you about Prissy also. She's a dear sister to me. She and Christy was there for me in times of need, discouragements, challenges in my life. They were very close and prayerfully encouraged me in many occasions. So I really thank God for them. And seeing what God is doing through them in this part of the world, I really thank God for what He is doing in His life. I'd like to share from the Word of God, but before that, I'd like to tell you about my family. My wife's name is Supriya, and I have two kids. My son's name is Abhishek. He's 17 years old, and my daughter, Shifa, she is 13 years old. So kindly uphold our family in your prayers. Also, do pray for our ministry. As Pastor Christy was saying, we are in the midst of the boiling water in terms of the atmosphere in our part of the world. It is risky, but we know that God's word and His church will thrive in the midst of these problems. We work in Bhopal. We have a church there. And from there, around 156 kilometers away from, I don't know how to translate into miles. You can do that. My max is also bad, so I can't help you out of that. So we have a church in a place called Kurai in Sagar. This won't make sense to most of you. Anyways, continue to pray for these two places. We have people from those indigenous people from that place. Do pray that that church grows and God works in those places. We have got threats. People have said that it won't work here, but we know that the word of God is going to prevail in those places and the church would be established. And it is wonderful to see you all. I was thinking this is something like heaven, because from different nation, different places, we all are here. Exactly, this would be, this is a replica of heaven that I could see. So may God bless you, thrive together, let God bless you and use you in this place. For a short meditation, let us turn to John chapter 12, verse 26. John chapter 12, verse 26. I would read it for you. Whosoever serves must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor one who serves me. My major thrust and what I would be speaking is follow me. Here it says in this particular portion, I will read it again, just the portion that I want to emphasize on. Whosoever serves me must follow me. This is not an option that Jesus is giving to his disciples. He is saying that we need to follow him. It is an emphasis, it is a commandment, it is not an option here. This is one of the important statements that Jesus is giving throughout his ministry on the face of the earth. When we see the beginning of his ministry in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, he began his ministry by saying, "Come, follow me," to the potential candidates who were called by Jesus to become his disciples, he said, follow me. It is very clear that right from the beginning of his ministry, this was an emphasis for him. And as his ministry progressed, in the middle of his ministry, he continued to say the same thing, but this time there is a difference. He not only told the disciples to follow him, but he also opened this call to the public and told them, you follow me. We'll read it in Mark chapter 8, verse 34. It says like this, then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples. See, he called the crowd to him along with the disciples and said, whosoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take the cross and follow me. So here also his emphasis is that, follow me. So he has not lost the sight of his mission or what he wanted to emphasize during his ministry. Follow me. Okay. And even towards the end in John chapter 21, verse 19, when he is almost concluding his talk with Peter, he is saying to Peter also that you follow me. Therefore, during his entire course of his ministry, following Jesus was an emphasis in his message, in his discourse with the people. So we need to understand the real meaning of it. We all know what is following Jesus, being disciples. We have heard a lot of messages on that. When we look into the details of following, I would say in my language, following him is to be a replica of Jesus Christ. Amen? To be like Jesus, that is what he expects from us. So when we follow him in that way, I was reading an article on following him. So what I have been told by that person who have written that article, he says that when we walk in a desert place or in a sand, when we walk, there is a footprint of us. And when we walk as a disciples or follow, we follow exactly the footprints. Or as we see in the mirror, when we see in the mirror, what we do exactly the mirror would reflect, isn't it? If I scratch my head, it would do exactly the same. Okay, so that's what Jesus expects from us, that we follow him in everything that he has done on the face of the earth. When we follow, what are the things that we need to follow? There are two things that we need to follow. What Jesus has said, follow me, he expects us to follow his teachings. First of all, we need to follow his teachings in our life. Second, we need to follow Jesus' life. Amen? And one of the interesting things that we learn from Jesus is that he showed his life and then he said, you live like this. How do we get this understanding? When we see Acts chapter 1 verse 1, there he says that, if you, one of you can read it, Acts chapter 1 verse 1.
In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach.
See, all that Jesus began to do and teach. Whatever Jesus taught, he first lived his life and then from his life, he has taught others. So his emphasis, when he says that we need to follow him, his emphasis is that what he did and what he spoke or his words. The words to obey and his life to follow or imitate in our lives. Words to obey and his life to copy or imitate. Praise the Lord. Paul also said, you imitate me as I imitate Christ. Praise the Lord. So Paul imitated Christ and then he said, you imitate as I imitate him. So in our life also, our major focus in our life or aim in our life should be to follow or imitate him and obey each and every word in the Bible. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? Do you agree with me? If so, say amen to it if you believe that. Praise the Lord. See, we need to obey Christ so that When people see us, people can see Christ in us. We many times say that a child is like his father. Me and Pastor Christy know a person. We spoke about him very recently. I went to his church without knowing that he has started attending that church. I saw him, and afterwards, his son came in. So his mannerism, the way he walked, was exactly like him. So I could make out that this boy is his son, without even introducing. Okay? What I'm trying to say is that when the world sees us, let them see Christ in us. Amen. Our activity, our behavior, the way we talk, the way we react. Let people see Jesus in us. And they say, he's so much like his father, Christ, Jesus Christ. Can people say that about us? And that is the major thrust that Jesus is giving to us from this portion. Praise the Lord. You may be in different setting. You may be in college, in university. You may be working in a school, in an office. But wherever we are, in our family, can people see Jesus in us? We need to follow him in every setting of our life, every arena of our life. Even in our private life, we need to follow him. If you follow him in your private life, when nobody knows you, nobody sees you, even in that place, if you follow him, you would definitely follow him in public also. That is an important principle that we need to inculcate in our lives. You know, when we try to see Jesus in the Gospels, we many times see him for what he did, as in the miracles, other things, his teachings. But many times we don't focus on the life that he has lived on the face of the earth. If you ask our Father in heaven, how should I live my Christian life? He would say that this is how you need to live your Christian life, showing, pointing towards Jesus Christ, and he would say. And then we might give a response by saying that he was God, therefore he lived a holy life. But I think we are missing the word of God. When he was on the face of the earth, he was equally God and he was equally man. And when we read Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, it makes it very clear that he gave up everything as God. I'm not saying, the word of God doesn't say that he was not God. He was God, yet he didn't use the privilege of being God. He emptied himself. And when he faced every temptation in his life, he faced it being a human. Therefore, he is a perfect example for you and me. When we read Hebrews chapter, if we can turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. May I read it for you? But we have one who has been tempted in every ways, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Hallelujah. This is such an encouragement for you and me. Many times people have walked up to me and said that, Pastor, Christian life is impossible. But this verse gives me encouragement that Christian life is possible. Praise the Lord. Because when Jesus lived his life on the face of the earth, overcoming sin, temptation, not yielding to the temptation, he has faced it just like you and me. And yet he was without sin. Praise the Lord. So we can live a victorious life on the face of the earth. We can overcome sin. I believe if I'm a school teacher, if I'm teaching children, class 9th, I don't know how you say that. In our place, it is class 9, like that it goes. Year 9, if I deal with the syllabus of class 9, will I put an exam of class 12th? No. If I, being a teacher and so limited in my understanding and wisdom, if I will not give an exam which is of class 12th after teaching them 9th, a God is fool or what? No. He is wise enough. And 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 to 8, it says that he has given everything that pertains to godliness. Praise the Lord. From his power, he has enabled us. Jesus faced all this temptation in the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. And he said, in especially when we read book of John, we see that he is saying two profound things. He says that, I don't speak what I feel like speaking. He says that what the Father tells me, I speak. What he does, I will do. What I see him doing, I do. So I don't follow anybody. I don't follow the celebrity in this world. I follow Christ. We follow Christ. He's our model. He's our example. Praise the Lord. If we follow a person in this world, we would end up losing our eternity. But if we follow Christ, we would definitely receive life, eternal life. Praise the Lord. So let us refocus. Let us tell ourselves that we need to follow Christ. He is the best example in the world. Let us know Christ and follow him in our life. Many times I think that when Jesus was on the face of the earth, when we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we need to look into it and see how Jesus reacted in his life. Definitely he has gone through criticism like we have gone through. He would have gone through situations in his life when people have said bad things, slandered about him. How did he react to that? His own brothers said wrong things about him. He said he's out of his mind. How did he react to it? Did he get angry? When authorities went against him, penalized him, how did he react? Pilate. Pilate, when he was in his court, he said, he is indeed a man. He is not saying about his gender, but about his maturity. Praise the Lord. After all the accusation that people is doing against him, he's saying that he is indeed a man. Praise the Lord. In a situation when he has fed these people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, when they were hungry, when they were worn off, he has said, his disciples wanted them to go. But Jesus said, don't send them like that. Let us feed them. He has given them whatever they needed in their life. Probably some of them were healed by Jesus. But yet, when he was in the court, the accused, and how did Jesus react? Can't we follow him? Do we need to follow him? Yes, we need to follow him. He is a perfect example. He didn't face all this thing like a stupor or not affecting, there is no effect on him. He was not a robot. He had exact feelings, emotions like you and me. Yet, he has stood in those places and he has shown the character, his maturity in those places. He's a perfect example to follow. Praise the Lord. Let us go back to the verse that I have read. It says, follow me. There is a context that we need to understand. There is an immediate context, and there is a larger picture of that book. When we look into the book of John, we understand this particular portion where the last words of Jesus in the public. Okay? If we, the book of John can be divided like this. The first chapter is the chapter which is an introduction to the entire book of John. Okay? And second chapter to the 12th chapter is his public ministry. 13th chapter to the 17th chapter, it is his private ministry, or he is spending time only with his disciples. 18th chapter is his arrest. 19th chapter is his crucifixion. And 20th chapter is his resurrection. 21st chapter is his last time, his time spent on the earth after his resurrection. So if in that way, what he says towards his end of his ministry, it is very important. Okay? And he says towards the end of his ministry is to follow him. And which means to follow him is the major thrust. And he's saying out of a setting. When we look into this particular chapter, especially from the first verse to the 26th verse, this can be divided into three parts. First verse to the 8th verse, it is speaking about the worship there. From the 9th verse to the 19th verse, it is speaking about the triumphant entry. And 20th verse to the 26th verse, it speaks about the immediate context. Okay, let me start with the first part. If you read the third verse, can somebody read the third verse? John chapter 12 verse 3. Okay.
But Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair.
I would say that this is one of the greatest worship that we can see in the Bible. Why I say this, I will later explain. Here it says about the value of that perfume. It says that it is a year's earning, which is around 300 denarius, which is not easy for a person who is of the middle class to buy it. But I believe that she has stored it or bought it for her marriage, whatever, I don't know. But she was ready to pour it at the feet of Jesus and wipe the feet of Jesus with her hair. You know, this was a precious thing, but yet she was ready to do it for Jesus. Okay. How could she do that? One of the important things that we can notice about Mary is three occasions in the Bible, Mary is mentioned. In Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, John chapter 11, verse 32, and John chapter 12, 1 to 8, what we are looking into. In all this occasion, we can notice one thing, is that Jesus is at the feet of Jesus Christ. So a person who is at the feet of Jesus Christ, whose preference is to be at the feet of Jesus Christ, for that person, it would be easy to give up anything that is, from a world's point of view, is precious. Praise the Lord. Because their understanding about the treasure and the world is different from the person who spends time at the feet of Jesus Christ. So when we spend time at the presence of God, that would change our viewpoint about different things that we treasure in our life, which is more important now. But when we spend time in the presence of God, those things which are precious now would become nothing to us. That's what Paul says. That is nothing to me. Praise the Lord. Our viewpoint changes when we spend time in the presence of God. Let us follow that in our life. Not only that, she didn't care about what people would say. It was a setting, a culture which was male dominated. She didn't care what people would say. How would people react? But she was ready to worship God in any given situation. Praise the Lord. When we spend time in the presence of God, we would not care about what people think. We will do what pleases God. That is a habit that we can have and inculcate in our life, which would be a blessing. Not only that, when all criticized, Jesus said, leave her alone. And said, she is doing it for my burial. What is Jesus saying then? Her worship is a worship which is prophetical in nature. When you sit in the presence of God, spend time in the presence of God, even your worship would become prophetical. It would be prophecy. Praise the Lord. Mary is an example whom we can follow in our life. Now, when we go further, because time doesn't allow to elaborate much, when we go further, we understand that there is a reaction that Judas Iscariot gives. He says that he came up with a wonderful idea. Let's not waste this money. Let us use this for charity. And when we read the same portion in different places, we see that even other disciples got influenced, got swayed away, and they were saying that, yes, it is a good idea. But Jesus had a different viewpoint in that situation. He was not influenced by what majority of people say. We are people, many times, we are influenced by what majority of people are saying. But Jesus was not influenced by what majority of people are saying. But he knew exactly what is the will of God. So let us be people who are not influenced by the world, by majority, by great ideas. But let us be influenced by the plan of God. In this portion, when you read carefully, he says that my hour has come. Jesus said, my hour has come. It is time for me to be crucified. But there were times he said that my hour has not come. He was sensitive to the plan of God. In John chapter 2, when his mother told him, the wine has finished, he said, my hour has not come. When his brothers told him, let us go to Jerusalem, he said, my hour has not come. It is not time. So he operated on the time of God in his life. When a person operates on the time of God and he is sensitive to the plan of God, he will do the right thing in right time. He'll do it in season. We need to follow him in our life. So when we do things in time, it is going to be a blessing for many. Jesus yielded himself to be crucified, and it became a blessing and deliverance for generations. When we operate in the plan of God, I believe God has a plan for each one of us. And God has a unique plan for each one of us. Let us be sensitive to the heaven and know that what is God's plan. And let us respond and do exactly what God expects from us. And when we do things on time, God is going to do great things through us. And it would influence generations. Praise the Lord. The name of the church is Hillington Pentecostal Church. The Pentecostal Church started around 100 years back because of some people who got sensitive to the voice of God and yielded and sat in the presence of God to pray. And now also we are harnessing on that. Praise the Lord. Let us be people who transform this world, a community, a society. Jesus did through his life. And that's why John chapter 1 verse 4 and 5 says that his life became the light of the world. And Jesus said, you are the light of the world now. Sorry. You are the light of the world. God has an expectation from each one of us. What Jesus did, we need to do in our life. Can we follow him? Because of the time constraints, I'm going to conclude. But from what we have heard, it is not difficult for us to live a victorious life. Victorious life in this world and show that we are different. Our life may show that we are like our Father. A mannerism, the way we talk, we think, let it be seasoned by the Word of God. And now on, when we read the Gospels, especially Matthew to John, let us see now on carefully how did Jesus react in each situation and say that, God, I want to be exactly like my Father and react exactly like you, talk like him, love people like him. You know, the greatest difficulty is when people, you know, God tests our love is when people would poke you, disturb you, bother you. And yet, if you are able to love, that is the supernatural love. If you are good, I would love you. That is natural. And that is not from heaven. The love of Jesus is from heaven. Therefore, it is supernatural. Let us ask God that he gives us that supernatural love in us. We want to follow him as he has loved others. Let us close our eyes. Will you respond to this?